Welcome to Sex, Politics, and Bacon. I'm your host, Abby Green. Today, we'll finish our conversation with the incomparable attorney, John Nwosu. The thrifty team will discuss some international and interesting children's entertainment options. And the team talks about their goals to follow the inevitable wild success of this podcast. So join us as we talk sex, politics, and bacon. How are we doing?
Well, I can tell you what day it is. It is Wednesday, my dude.
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Hi, Duncan.
Cool. Hi.
Jump in the line. Rock your body in time.
Okay.
I believe you.
Jump in the line.
And now that's going to be in your head all day.
Joke's on you. That song is routinely in my head.
Yeah, exactly.
It never left.
It's not since Beetlejuice. No.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Thanks, Winona Ryder.
It's a good song, actually.
It is.
It's really like dancing.
Yeah.
It's safe for kids.
Henry Belafonte was, you know, a classic artist for his time for a reason. That's why he's still around. Even though he was like in the 50s, 60s. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was a long fucking time ago.
Harry Belafonte, yeah. He sings that song, 6 foot, 7 foot, 8
That's
foot.
The same bunch.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, right. Oh, fuck.
No, it's not.
Oh, no, it's not. I'm sorry. Yeah. And that's the song.
That's the song.
Okay. All right. Wait, I'm not the idiot
here. Right. Yay. I sit corrected.
Sit corrected.
The other one's from Matilda.
Is it? I forgot. The only thing I remember about.
Is it? No, it's not. It's not. Sorry, go ahead.
So the only thing I remember about Matilda was the fudge eating scene and the creepy ass closet filled with nails.
Oh yeah, the trunch bowl on their closet. Yeah.
So, what is your goal with this pod? What is it that you want to accomplish?
I want to change the world. No, I.
I'm down.
My goal. Hashtag goals. I want to meet Abby's friends. Meet people and hear what they think about Abby.
And what's your ultimate goal?
My ultimate goal in life? Ah, shit.
No, just like over the next 2 years or...
Oh, okay. To have fun.
586 days or whatever.
To have fun? To talk to cool people?
You want to be a county counselor?
No, okay. I didn't know if it was like podcast goals or like life goals.
Both, right?
yes. I want to run for county council. I'm going to run for county council. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I know that I said to you at one point that, like, you know, 50% of the time people lose their first round, but that's also like where 70% of the people have absolutely no help and no idea what they're doing.
Yeah. 50% of even the time it works 100%.
All the time. Jaguar.
All statistics are made up. 70% of people.
Jaguar.
You know, even Kamala, her campaign fell apart. She still ended up being VP. Anyway, my point being, you have a very, very good chance of doing well if you put in the effort and the time and the energy. And I think the best way to give you like your perspective, like your time frame of like what you got to put in right now. Like, let's say today your campaign starts. Is the day you giving birth?
Okay. Right.
You just need to get this baby to be 19 months old.
Right.
That's really hard. And that's a long time from now. But you've made four of them past that point.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all still alive.
They totally are.
Yay.
I promise you the next 19 months will not be as hard as the first 19 months with any of your children. However,
it's a lot of work.
It has to be in your mind like that and in your kids like that too, because they're not going to instantly get that this is mommy's new baby, mommy's new other attention thing. Mm-hmm. And so they need to see it as like, this is a project for mommy. And we need to understand this is the timeline. We have to be more patient. We have to try to smile when we don't want to. And, you know, just all of those parts. But I wanted to show you, like, I know that you can put your head down and kick ass for 19. I mean, you know, you can do that.
Yes. I can.
And that's not from the election. That's from when you take office.
Right.
You could be making, well, how much money?
Over 100,000.
I feel like
it's not about the money.
It's not.
It's not about the money. When I saw the dollar amount, I was like, holy fucking shit. Should I give half of this away? Like I feel, you know what I mean? Like I've never made over $50,000 in my life. So like,
but it is about you finally being reimbursed for your value. Like your hard work you have shown by getting your SMB4 degree, which is Becca, single mom, four boys. Because that's both Alyssa and I agree. Sense. That's harder than getting your doctorate or your medical degree. So you know you can do that for 19 months. And your kids, other than the youngest one, knows they can get through another 19-month-old baby coming into the house, right? Like,
Yeah.
But at the end of that will not be, obviously, your kids are great and wonderful and you're so happy to have them. After that will be the start of a new career, job, everything. Yes, it is about the money in the sense that it'll give you the stability to figure out what you want to do.
Yeah. Like stability, it's crucial.
And no reliance on anyone else.
No reliance on men or anyone else.
Until your boys become men, because then they should take care of you.
Yeah, we've talked about it. I'm like, I'm coming to all of your homes. Please don't live in my basement. I talked to my oldest son's father. He's like, yeah, he's going to be living in one of our basements. I'm like, stop saying that shit. He's like, no, I mean, really, you know, I'm like, stop it.
So maybe you can encourage them by now joking about it in front of your other kids. Be like, you guys will take me. And obviously you have to take your brother too, because he's got to live in your basement.
We're all a package. We go out and I'm like, literally when we're like scattered, I'm like, we are not behaving as a unit. We have to be a unit. Like we're a shitty unit. I heard that from Kevin Hart.
G-Unit.
All right. So, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, 19 months old, December 5th, 2022 is when the new people take office.
Yep.
It seems, or it's like in between, they like double over for a little while. Anyway, it's about that. And when they were, when like Bernie Sanders and John Lewis and all these folks during Freedom Summer, the summer where like people really went crazy. And when you see all the folks down in the South sitting at lunch counters and all and being pulled off, like that was the summer that they organized. And when they were recruiting people, like they were highly trained. It looks like they're just sitting there, but you have to be trained to be able to put up with that kind of abuse and that kind of everything. Yeah. So they were going around the country recruiting people. And when they would sit them down and say like, why do you want to be a part of this? If the people said, like, I think racism is bad, I want to end racism in Mississippi or whatever, they'd be like, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
But people who came in and said, we just have to fight for equality. Like, everything is messed up. Like, we have to just fight. They were like, okay, you're really in this. Like, it can't just be about that one thing. It can't just be about this one issue. You have to be so dedicated in your soul because, like, as a young white woman, I don't have the reason for me why I am doing this thing that no human should have to do, put up with being beaten or yelled at or disrespected simply to get access for somebody else. If I don't have that in my core, then I'm just not going to be good enough. Like this is bigger than that.
That philosophy
comes from, generations and generations of community organizers like Cesar Chavez and like all these sort of different people. And I think the thing is that the next 19 months, come hell or high water, like I think there's a very, very good chance you can win. But if you don't, no matter what, like you've just put yourself in the fight in a new way. So in 19 months, like your life will be different no matter what. So what do you think about that?
I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. I am looking forward to it. I am like you said the other day, like, okay, there's a lot of things that like I don't tell a lot of people, but like when we were sitting on your porch the other day, you're like, there's nothing that like someone can throw at you to where it's like, yeah, dude, I've been through that. I know. And if I don't know, I empathize. I can relate. I'm not doing this for me and to get a position in life and a job, blah, blah, blah. No, I could have continued on my biotech path, which eventually I do want to go back to school for that. But like, you know, this is bigger than that. Like it's about so much more than that.
There was a time where Becca liked to say she was a kept woman. Just like what they would say and when they kept their mistresses, like, in a hotel and in nice linens, and their wife didn't know about it.
There's no hotel or nice linens.
No, I obviously, but that's what, you were a kept woman.
I don't need much to be kept, but I certainly am kept.
Food, a roof, some pot.
Some video games.
Cats.
Yeah.
That's about it. Wilbo.
So, yeah.
So tell me what that would look like.
Making anything over $0 at some point.
I was thinking about what could be different in your life 1 year from now, because I think that's a good horizon for us. And I was like, you could have a new home, a new job. And I think with the way you're going and the way you feel about being in Maine and being a new home, that you're going to have a new body too, like doing so much more. And Bill's totally right that you're laughing more and meeting friends. Like, I think this is the start of something awesome, of Becca 5.0 or whatever life we're in, the 19 lives of Becca.
I'm a late bloomer. So yeah, that would be,
I think, a year from now, if you could wave your magic wand, like, what would be a success? What would be a successful year spent doing this?
Honestly, to have people regularly listening, and, you know, a fair amount of them, simply because, I mean, I've been doing my dark stuff on Instagram for about 2 or 3 years now, and I post every day. So every time there's a new follower, it feels like a little victory, and that's what I'm used to. So nice. If we have people who are listening, that's a success to me.
Good answer. Good answer.
Great answer.
Right?
Yeah.
Great answer. And I
think it's a good answer. It was the classiest answer.
That answer is as pretty as your hair, sir.
You can't see it, but I'm like fluffing it right now.
I can see it. I can tell. We can tell our own kind, us beautiful hair floppers.
Yay!
I am beyond a fan of Joe Biden. Person, family, friend, la, la, la. Change administration means what? What has he done? What has he done? What has he undone, I guess?
Well, I mean.
Not much yet. I know.
Not much, but at least. It's, yeah, I mean, exactly. I can sit here and send an email and, you know, to an ICE officer, and they can actually, you know, let my, you know, they
semi-efficiency.
There's semi-efficiency, some other things. And I'm honestly, like, I look at it this way, right? Before 2017, my docket, my removal docket, right, that I have active case at any one time.
Duncan, removal is like the nice legal term for kicking someone out of the country. Yeah, but we're supposed to use words like removal, not like grabbing a child.
You're removing
them. Like, oh, excuse, can you move your car? Thanks.
So I've never had more than maybe 15 to 20 cases at any one point, right? So from 2017 to now, I have over, this is me, single man office, over 200 cases open at any one point in time. So you can imagine, I stopped just taking cases. I mean, someone will come, I just price them out because I don't want the case. And then also because they don't have hope, right? There's nothing you can do for them other than buy them time. And then they need this money, and you know that, and you tell them the truth, like, listen, that money is for you paying me. Just when they send you home, at least have something to use. But there's about 4, 5, 10,000 attorneys in the Dallas area. You know, someone is going to tell them what they want to hear and take that money. So
honestly, they will take their money, and like, they might as well, right? Like, they're building up the caseload. And the truth is that it's just this furtherance of something. And still, I was like, I don't know, fuck it. Like, just, like, there's just this, again, like the desperation that comes into it. And that's it's in the bones of the law. There is no one involved that likes their job. And I don't mean that negatively towards you. Like, the small victories are amazing. Like, it's insane where something so small could happen. And it, when you work in that kind of law, like, it makes you weep. It's not like, wow, I'm proud of myself. You're like, oh God, the smallest thing happened. And I will tell you, the reason I do not do that, I've never repeated this. I just like was working on this case, and it was so hopeless, and it's so comforting to hear you say that because it was so hopeless. But like, I got tired and like put it down for a day or two and the person was removed. The person was kicked out of the freaking country and they weren't well. And they'd already, my firm, I don't say me, our firm had already taken a lot of their money. And like, I just like, it broke me.
Mm-hmm. That is sad. On a happier note, like how often do you get victories? I guess it's a hopeful.
Well, you know, victory in our field is kind of, you know, very relative, you know? Mm-hmm. So it depends on how you look at it, from which lens, you know, what do you call victory, right? You know, because victory is not always just getting them to stay. You know, I have some people that are like, you know, hey, I'm trying to do this. Can you buy me time? Right. You know, there's some people that are realistic about it. So there are people that are not. There's sometimes you have some kind of phenomenal win that blows you away that you never expect, especially when it comes from a judge that you don't expect, you know, and you don't think it will ever happen. But honestly, you know, one of the things I learned in immigration law is, or dealing with immigrants, I'm one myself, is Americans, and I've lived here long enough. So, you know, the orientation to approach to a lot of things is different, right? An American will walk into your office and they'll tell you everything, right? Because it's the culture. They understand it. They lived it, right? You know, majority of my clients, when it comes to immigrant clients from the south of the border, it takes years sometimes for you to start, you know, it's not easy to get something out of them. And, you know, I've been with clients where, like, you've been on their case for 18 months. And one day they tell you the most impact. I just give you an example. I have this case I've been working, Horatio. Is you know, gay couple, you know, one day the husband is being removed and defending him. And, you know, we did an intake, covered everything. Have you ever been a victim of a crime? Have you ever been this? Have you ever been this, right? Nope. One day, 17 months into the case, he shows up at my office like, oh, I got this subpoena. I have to appear in Gainesville, you know. I say, for what? Oh, when I was working in Gainesville, you know, I was working at a subway and then I got robbed. And I'm looking at the client. I almost wanted to punch him in the face. Like, are you kidding me? This is your ticket. This is, you know, and I'm looking at him. And he came. He rushed to my office because he thinks he was going to get deported, right? He doesn't want to do it. And I say, this is the best thing that ever happened to you. Right now, he hasn't
went to it. Sorry, Duncan. But Duncan, like, breathes fire and, like, does all this cool stuff with martial arts. And John does some really cool, like, breaking down his cases and just kind of, yeah, just translating, which I think is the most amazing, interpreting, I guess, is the better word, mm-hmm. like, legalese and, like, what it means. So, yes, please continue.
Yeah, so this guy walked in. He was deported, order deported in 2001 in New Jersey. You know, he walked into my office and apartment. I'm looking at him. I'm like, there's nothing I can do for you, sir. This was in 2019. I'm like, sir, I don't care. I'm going to hire you. I would be his attorney number eight, right? I'm like, okay, you've appealed this case. You've exhausted your remedy. There is nothing. He says, sir, my wife prayed. That's what he said. He said, my wife prayed and we went online. We say the first, you know, whoever the God direct, that's how we find you. And we're here. We're going to hire you. If you see my contract, this guy refused to go. I say, sir, I don't care. And he literally came to me a week after the other attorney who is a very competent attorney that I know, you know, he hired that one and the case, the one just gave me a letter.
He's begging.
You know, he's like, sir, I want you to take my case. My contract said, I told you there is nothing I can do for you.
Duncan, was I saying to you that this before when you're like a public defender and there are times like, so I was doing bail hearings. So it's like, hey, can I get mm-hmm. out? Like I got drunk mm-hmm. last night. Yeah, I'll pay the $1,700. Let me out. Whatever. Right. So there are mm-hmm. clients you go to in the morning and they'd be like, I took the plea deal. And I'm like, what plea deal? I haven't seen so you have to go on the record and you're like, judge, I'd just like to say for the record, I have not reviewed anything about this case. I don't agree with anything he's doing. He's waived all rights to an attorney. You know, like you have to kind of do that. And so it's funny for you to be like, I'll do this because like, what do I do? But think about literally being like, I don't want to do this legalese. I shouldn't have to do this. this is dumb. I don't want to legalese.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a language. I've actually read Robert's Rules of Order.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, you really want to die? Read the blue book.
Oh my God.
Burn that damn thing. Wow. John, see, you're amazing. Okay, so I want to be respectful of your time. I said we only needed an hour. I don't know Duncan's time frame. I don't know your time frame. We're about 8 minutes from there, so we can start sort of wrapping up. Or I'm happy to, I'll keep talking for 10 years.
She will.
He knows.
Okay, how did you and Duncan connect? How did you two connect?
Memes on Facebook, also bullying racists.
Oh.
Tell me everything.
Yeah.
I mean, we both kind of, there was somebody's comment, and it was, of course, during the Trump era, and I think it was dealing with women, but somebody was making shitty comments and just being a general jackass, as one does on Facebook, and we both happened to join in on just attacking the shit out of this person, and we're like, hey, you, I like you, you're fun. And then I post a bunch of weird memes all the time, in addition to like daily posts of Rope Dart and Unchuck. I'll fire breathe or fire eat occasionally, so like
he's part wizard,
something like it,
maybe. But to be fair, can I interject to say there that is absolutely the truth. But I'll tell you, when you endeared yourself to me, was I found a really funny meme that was pretty freaking dark. And I'm not as dark and swirly as Duncan. That's what I like to call it. Or as our other podcast co-host, Becca. That's why I knew they would get along. And that's the best way I can explain it. Is they're very dark and swirly. I'm a little bit, but like not as much as them. But I put something up that I thought was like on the right line. And Duncan, I don't know if you recall, you messaged me and said, hey, just checking, like, are you doing okay? Do you recall this?
Yeah, I saw something. I was just like, you good? You good? Kind of checking in on you.
Yeah. You, number one, you checked in on me. I'm a complete fucking stranger. And you said something, and I genuinely don't remember what it was, but it was like, what I will just say, a female needs to hear that a male is reaching out to them on the internet for absolutely no nefarious reason. It's unfortunate that you have to do that, but whatever you said or the way you said it or what, like, you were just like, hey, I've been there with mental health. Like, are you all right? And the truth is, you, like, truly, I was just like, oh, dude, I thought that was, like, funny, dark, swirly. No, like, yes, I have had those moments and I connect with you and I totally agree, but like, oh, no, I just thought that was funny. Like, and also, like, COVID. Like, I was also like, so, screw this world.
That's really interesting. Interesting. So, Duncan, what do you do?
Actually, at the moment, I rebuild alternators for cars and trucks and whatnot. But I also am a performer. But that's not as steady as work.
So yeah, very handy. Yeah, it's just one thing I cannot do to save my life. The only thing I'm allowed to do in my house is to change light bulbs.
Wow, they let you do that?
That's the only thing she will
let me do. How many have you broken?
I haven't broken any, but you know, just so when it comes to anything, fixing up a house or car, those two things, those are my biggest trigger, my biggest stressors, right? The car breaks down or there's something wrong with the house. She don't even bother to tell me sometimes if I'm at work because she know I'll start stressing. So I'm the least handyman I know.
Let me get my toolbox, aka wallet.
So I have, you know, like, and let me tell you, in 2015, when we moved into our home, you know, it was so hot. It was July 22nd, and the movers, they were, it was just so, I just wanted to go home. And the last thing they needed to do was install the washer and dryer. I was like, just show me what I need to do. Just, you guys need to go. I need to sleep. It was like 11. It was 100 and something degrees in Texas. Everyone was tired. Just get out of my house. We need to sleep. They left on Sunday morning. I came to just, they showed me all I need to do is just hook up the hose into and screw it. You know, $18,000 later, I busted my, what is called, scaphoid lunate ligament. I teared my ligament in my right hand. And I didn't know that I could have gone in and it would have been fixed. But for, you know, I keep eyes in my hand. After like 2 months, I told my wife, I need to go see an orthopedic.
Like, oh my God, you're such a man. Ugh.
Yeah. So, two surgeries later. So,
no.
She won't let me do it. She was like, no. Yeah, so, that is how bad.
You need to be kept in a glass case.
Yeah.
So, you are very fragile, like a flower.
Yeah, I can't.
It's okay. So, you need to be a kept man.
I'm amazed with people that can do things, and I'll be looking at them. People will tell, oh, you can do this. I go to Home Depot. Like, no, I need, who does it? You know, it's really easy. I'm like, I'm good. Because I'll mess it up.
No, I feel that 100%. Like, there's some, I can rebuild an alternator. That is it. People are like, hey, let me ask you car questions. I was like, let me stop you there. I can rebuild of your car. That's it.
Yeah.
Granted, it's kind of a specialized thing because, you know, a lot of people, if they don't know how to do that, they don't have the equipment. They're just like, buy the new part, which, hey, I mean, it works, but I offer a cheaper option that's, you know, easier for people where
rebuilding.
Drop $200 something, you know, I'll do it for like 80.
Oh.
That doesn't sound very capitalist.
It doesn't.
Right?
I don't know if you understand math, Duncan, because, you know, you do have a penis. So generally you're not, you know, the quickest.
Numbers scare me.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely need to connect to Duncan on Facebook and everywhere. So, Abby, you know what you have to do. I did send you also, Abby, I sent you the screenshot of the case number for my citizenship. It's going to say, you're going to see John Auger. That was actually, I changed my name while I was in Nottistan to Wosu. So,
Well, I was thinking about it. You said it was September 2007.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can go to PESA if you have access and you read out it, you know, see how.
Well, I felt like I was having a personal moment too, because obviously this podcast is actually about me. I was having a personal moment of like, was I not there? Did I not? That's like literally was my first day of orientation for law school. So I was like, oh, okay. I definitely couldn't have known about it.
No.
That's when I started. Oh, yes. I will absolutely connect you. That is literally, John, the point of this, I guess. I'm not really sure what the point of this is, but maybe y'all can explain it to me. Thank you so much for your time, both of you. And then all I want to do, John, is just be like, you know, can you just plug all your stuff? Like, where can people find you? I know you got YouTube stuff. Like, where can people find you if they want to learn more about all the awesome stuff you're doing?
Well, I'm on YouTube, you know, John Wosu, just search me. You know, it's a very unique name, NWOSU. I'm on Instagram, John Wosu Law. I'm on Facebook, John Wosu. I'm on Twitter. So I'm everywhere. I'm not on Snapchat. I need to get on it.
What's Snapchat?
Just Snapchat. TikTok.
Yeah. Snapchat, TikTok?
I'm on TikTok as well, but I kind of, when Instagram came up with the Reels, I haven't really posted on TikTok. So.
Wait, what is Snapchat?
You don't know what Snapchat is?
I don't know what computers are. I don't know what time is. I don't know what is.
I don't even use Snapchat. Socially, you can find me.
I'm sorry. That was an accent thing. I thought you said snapshot. I'm sorry.
No.
That was my white ear.
Yeah. So, this is fun.
I'm so glad you think so. Listen, I'm gonna put you on the spot. So I've been doing this to my guests, and it's fun. If let's just say, you know, there was one thing you could tell people, specifically people who are going to make huge changes to immigration law, like possibly in the next month. If, I don't want to say one thing, but if there was one philosophy, because it isn't one thing with immigration, obviously, what would you want people to understand or know about like the guiding principle, or just if you had one thing for people to understand, because immigration is so effing layered and confusing and nuanced, and it should be and it shouldn't be. And I can stop using words now.
You mean the people that, you mean like members of Congress?
I think I'm talking to our audience, which is people who like to hear what I have to say and like-minded people. Obviously, if the point is that people should contact their member of Congress, absolutely, I can make that happen. That's like truly what I've done for most of my job. So absolutely can make that connection. But what is the message, whether it is to members of Congress and truly, even if, you do want people to reach out to members of Congress. You also want them to tell their friends to do the same. So what is like the message or the, like, what do you want people to know?
I honestly don't think I can answer this question with just one sentence, because I'll tell you this, having lived in Boston, you know, did undergrad and law school in Boston, you know, lived in New York and come to Texas, in America is huge, right? And then we are so, everyone is so isolated, right? I live in Plano, Texas, right? I've met people that were born in Plano, Texas, and the farthest they have gone is Dallas, right? And then I could be born here and I have everything that I need within 50-mile radius of me, right? Mm-hmm. That's my understanding of the world, right? So, and I always say this because it takes you meeting an immigrant. Yeah, so I really think that people need to, honestly, if I believe that a majority of Americans, if they actually get to talk and make, it's just about the same thing about racism, about this, about that, right? When I lived, and I'll tell you this, and it sounds so crazy. I'm a black man, right? I came to the United States, lived in New York, went to school in Boston.
I thought you were a white girl.
You know, lived with a Canadian, my girlfriend, for 8 years, right? So my life, my whole life was like surrounded with like, you know, white people, right? So that is the prison I used to look at the world, right? And I believe that, right? So who teaches us how we think in this country, right? TV, right? What we see on TV. Because you don't understand those subliminal messages there. You know, goes into your subconscious, right? I bought my first home at 22 years old, right? So what? I'm thinking about this, right? 22, finished college, had a job, bought my first home in Hebrew Massage. And I'm like, bullshit, you know? And then I internalized it. And I'm like, you know what? You know, this thing that the media is telling me about black people in this country is correct. You know, they're lazy, they're this. And I did believe that. And you won't believe me until I get to law school. It was the biggest eye-opener. And I realized how ignorant I've been, you know, when I started understanding. And then, you know, even to today, I'm still learning. Because when you start understanding, you know, so I sit down with a lot of people, especially, you know, in Texas, there's a bigger Nigerian immigrants. I don't know any Nigerian when I was in Boston, you know. And then when you sit down with these people, you know, they don't understand the privilege, right? Coming here where you don't have to deal with the systemic system. You know, you come in here, there's only one goal. Failure is not an option, right? You go to school, you have all this. Your orientation to life is totally different compared to that person. You know, I have clients that, you know, they have a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, you know, some of them, their kids are meeting them for the first time in jail, right? That kid, that's his reality, right? I live in Plano, right? My kid is going to grow up and be surrounded by, you know, if he wants to be a pilot, maybe he has a friend in class as a pilot, right? But then there's that kid that lives in South Dallas that does mm-hmm. not have that. The only thing that surrounds him, at, you know, by the time he's turned 10, his mom may have slept with like 20 different, you know, men. The next guy down the street that drives a Mercedes is a drug dealer, right? That is his life. You don't expect that kid to turn 18 years old and know that, oh, yeah, I can suddenly reprogram myself and start thinking about how to be productive, because the only thing that he saw in his, you know, environment is this is what you do, you know. So, and then that I know that he asked me about immigration, but that is the same thing, right? We sit here, you know, Fox News or whatever news or CNN is telling us that these people are, you know, there's caravan, they're coming to take over our job. That is all they know. The only immigrants they deal with are the ones that cut their grasses or maize that come to clean their houses. And that's it. You know, never sat down with someone. And I said, I came to the United States. I did not have a high school diploma. And then if I was working at a liquor store, I was, you know, a liquor store in Brentwood, New York. That's how this guy.
Where's Brentwood, New York?
It's in Long Island.
Oh.
You know? Okay. And, you know, I was walking, you know, and this guy, he walks in, you know, he buys alcohol every day. And one day we were talking, you know, and he was like, oh, where do you go to school? And I looked at him and I laughed and I'm like, no, I don't go to school. You know, I'm like, what do you mean? I'm like, no, you don't go to school, right? And then this guy started encouraging me. Like, he was like, oh, no, stop. He got me a GED book. He did not know me from anywhere, right? Got me a GED book. You know, he's like, you're so smart. You know, because, I mean, this is it. You know, I work at a liquor store. My boss is a professor at Adelphi, right? And he gets newspapers delivered there. So when he comes back from work, he reads it, right? So I read the newspaper. So I'm very vast in, like, whatever is going on, because he gets New York Times and Wall Street. I don't have anything to do, right? I just read it. So this guy come and we engage and talk. That is how I end up going to school, because someone that does not know me just tell me you have to do this.
Excuse me, John. I'm going to interrupt. Is it possible the microphone is touching like your shirt or your mouth or something?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah, so when I was in law school and when I went, you know, if you see my law school letter, I actually mentioned him. And when I went to go see him and I told him I'm in law school, he literally canceled his appointments that day, right? And he was like, he couldn't believe it. And he, you know, he did actually remember. And, you know, so that is how my life, because someone talked to me and then realized like, oh, he's a human being. You know, he can do something. And I really love school too. So, I mean, I give it to, for me too. I really enjoy school. So not everyone, I really enjoy school. And I thrived in school. I did very well in school too. You know, so to answer your question, I think like we need to really meet, you know, talk, but the way the call, it cannot really change overnight. And then, you know, it's hard for me to be talking to my neighbors about, you know, how inhumane our immigration system is, how these people, they can never understand it. And I don't blame them. And I don't get mad. I used to be upset at them. I can't do that, you know, because they don't know, you know, just like when I was so ignorant, you know, I can't be mad. I used to be mad, but no, it's just they're ignorant, but it's not by choice, because we can say that people choose to. No, they did not choose to. That is how their life was modeled. Yeah. So I hate to say this. I really don't think that people are inherently racist. I just think that, you know, it's an environment of where you are. And, you know, it perpetuates and it transcends and it goes, because, like, you know, we live in a suburb, we're surrounded by people like you. You do, your kids do play games with people like them. You know, they go to school with people like them. That's all they know. You know, you can't turn 35 years old and then expect him to wake up and like, oh yeah, you know, something's wrong. I mean, some of them will see it, but it doesn't necessarily always end up that way.
It's true.
I think I went off point, but I don't even remember.
No, I got you.
Not at all. This is the point.
That's how the podcast works. We go off for real.
Yeah. That's
John, that was so, oh my gosh, this is such good audio. We're going to be millionaires because of you. Thanks, John. I'll buy you dinner once.
Yeah, well, I'll be coming to Boston. So my brother still lives in Boston. So
I'm not in Boston. I'm in D.C., dude.
I know. Yeah, you're in D.C.
Oh, but my parents are in New
England. I need to go to Duncan. Duncan, you talk now.
Don't interrupt, Abby. Duncan, mm-hmm. you talk because that was amazing. That was amazing. Duncan, you read.
I was just going to say it was great to meet you, John. I had a lot of fun talking to you. Like I said, find me on all the socials at the Monk of the Magnolia.
I'll connect y'all. Don't worry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you, Duncan. He jumped in.
Talking with us, man.
He jumped in. Bye, Duncan.
All right. Hope y'all invite me back.
Okay. Put the tea on. I have stories.
Well, I know my way around New England. I can tell you that much.
That's
regrets.
Regret. Oh. Regret.
Oh, Becca has a good concert story.
Remind me. No, which one?
With Wenchy? You went to a show with Wenchy?
Oh, well, okay.
Is it Kate?
I mean, I just have like a litany of shows, I guess. Is the original back in the day when Bill and I were dating, I like got this fake ID only mm-hmm. to say I was 18 to go see. Yeah. Not even to drink. For fuck's sake. And it was the worst fake ID anyone could have ever seen in your life. I mean, my God, it was like worse than a library card, but I tried to pull it off to get into a, oh God, the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Oh my gosh.
And they busted me and didn't let me in. Very embarrassing.
Oh,
crying on the beach because it was at the Hampton Beach Casino.
Yes.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah. Casino. Where's the...
Why didn't they take pity on me and just be like, you poor bastard, go in and see the show. Obviously, you're not getting a wristband to drink.
You can't even drink. Your fake ID won't even let you drink. What are you going to do? Enjoy the show? No. Yep.
Like, not under 18, you're not.
What asshole. They should have totally taken you. I would have if I were. I mean,
actually,
guys, come
you know
on.
What? Do you know never had to knock on wood? That's a good one.
Yeah, that is.
And then I guess the other one, it was Tom Petty. I'm an asshole.
Oh, I fucking love Tom Petty.
Oh, he's amazing. Yeah,
I saw him. He's great.
Yeah. I saw some of him.
Back down.
I was like, let's eat. And Becky's like, nah, dude, wench bag. We'll get some hot dogs on the way to the
show. It'll be fine.
And it was like, so then we were drinking before we left. And then we got there. We did have a hot dog. Stupid.
Hot dog.
And then I was like, at the Fleet Center, the garden. It's not the garden. What was it?
Titty Bank North?
Titty Bank North, maybe. Whatever the fuck hell that thing was called. Becky takes me to the Tom Petty show. And they're like, wow, we serve liquor now. Because I don't drink beer. It's gross. And I was like, holy shit, I got liquor here. This was new. They only used to sell beer at these things, you know? Mm-hmm. They didn't have, like, bars. So I was like, rum and coke me, baby! And then I, like, was just completely blasted, wasted. Next thing I know, I'm like, I'm going to pee it out. Because that's always a good idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not what worked. I remember going into the bathroom and then sitting there peeing and then being like, oh, boy. I'm going to throw up, I think. And then it was like all on my pants. They're white pants.
Oh, no.
Yeah, stupid. And I'm just like, and then I must have blacked out because next thing I hear is, ma'am.
Oh, no.
Yeah, ma'am, please pull up your pants.
Oh, no.
And it's like nursing shoes under the door, you know, those black fucking yeah. restaurant slash yep. on your feet all day professional sneakers. And I was like, oh my God, what's happening? And they're like, ma'am, please pull up your pants. I'm going to open the door if you don't open the door. And I was just like, oh my God. And then in the distance, I can hear my friend from Rhode Island going, you let me in there. I'm the only one she knows. You better let me in that bathroom right now. Yeah, right now. So they'd let her in because you're not going to say no to that 5'2" fury of Rhode Island.
Fury of boobs. She's 5'2" and all boobs and voice.
Yeah, oh my God. Boobs and in your face and like, don't you be looking at these ginormous boobs. But then so she comes in and they gotta put me on the stretcher because they called him in. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I'm saying sorry to them. Like, I'm a waste of time. Like, unnecessary. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And then as we're getting wheeled out of Tom Petty concert, who's still singing and playing and having a wonderful time. There I go on the stretcher and Becky, the best friend of all time, is going, what are you looking at? You better turn around. There's nothing to see here. Screaming at anybody who's looking, like, let them look at my shame. I'm ashamed. I threw up all over myself.
What do you think? You're better than me?
Yeah. Like, just stop looking. You got nothing to see here. And then, yep. And then it takes the ambulance and she's sitting in front. She calls my husband and she's like, Bill, listen, don't freak out. Everything's fine. And Bill's like, oh my God, I'm going to have to come pick you up in the city, aren't I? Because the whole deal was we were going to take the train out. So all he had to do was pick us up like 10 minutes away as opposed to coming all the way into the city. Nope.
Oh my gosh.
So then I get into the hospital and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm such a waste of resources. And then I try to, like, I don't know, use another friend's name. I'm like, is Erin Kivlahan here? Like, I'm going to get her fired now. Like, what a douche. And they're like clearly aware that I'm coming to. They just need to like admit me to disadmit me.
Right.
Just, so, like, discharge me. You.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm in the hallway and Becky is just taking pictures with what I can only imagine is probably like one of those LG Envy open up clamshell phones that were like long that had the full keyboard inside. Yeah. I still miss the physical keyboard. What a
I miss it too.
Oh, so nice. But anyway, Bill had to come pick us up and Becky was like, let's go get Taco Bell and Bill and turning on the radio. And Bill was like, no radio, no Taco Bell. The end.
Oh, my God.
I owe Becky a Tom Petty concert.
Too bad he's dead.
I know. Fuck.
Fuck.
Fucking hell. Yep. That was Ma'am, pull up your pants. I was like, oh no. It must have just been like passed out, folded over on the toilet. Old like pukey foot pants. You know, the lady next to me was probably like, oh God, plap, plap. This shit. Are you okay in there? And who knows how many people are like banging on the door, like, I don't think she's okay. Someone call 911. Who even knows?
How many people came in there? And then Becky. Let me in.
Yeah, I know who she is. You better let me in there. And then and she's like, she splayed out her arms like a protective mother eagle trying to shield my shame and yelling at me, stop looking. You mind your fucking business. What is this? Never happened to you? Go fuck yourself. But yeah. And friends, and she like danced me out of the hospital pushing the wheelchair, and they gave me, I was like, can I have a sheet, because I wore white pants and threw up all over. So like I just stole a sheet, and then they, you know, you have to wheel out, so she wheels me out, we throw the wheelchair and the sheet into the bushes because there's Bill in the car coming to pick us up, and he is so mad. He's silent mad, you know, that kind of I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
In you, Mel.
Yeah. Oh my God. Oh, I'm so glad that Tom Petty was brought up. That was, I mean, at the time, not so great, but right now, that's great.
It's a great story. Yep.
It's a good great times. Story. It's a great story.
A big thanks to everyone who contributed to this and every episode of Sex, Politics, and Bacon. For more information on John Nwosu's work, please visit johnnwosu.com. That's JohnNwosu. And please join us next time for more stories, ideas, and laughs from the Thrifty team. Until then, take care of you. And don't forget to subscribe to Sex, Politics, and Bacon.
Can you say bye-bye?
Bye-bye. See you soon next time.
She is knowledgeable. She understands the issues. She understands this county very well. And she is practical in her approach to things. When you listen and talk to her, she doesn't go off on some extreme. She's not frightened about the various things that most people get frightened about, personalities, or in some ways, you know, with the trappings of the office. That would not be her concern. Her concern would be, how do I best represent the people in my district in Montgomery County? And this is what you need. And I would hope that you would get out and pour out your heart, mind, and soul to support her. This is an unusual election. People are voting now in the middle of July, July the 19th. Some have started already. We've never voted in the middle of July. I said to someone, unless you're going to go to Ocean City or Western Maryland to Deep Creek or somewhere, you're not going to find me in Montgomery County. She needs the ability now to get her message out now, because people are starting to vote. And so I say to you, you know, all of this is excellent. But elections have a funny way of turning. And so you have to maintain that momentum. You have to fight for her, because in essence, you're fighting for the county. Mm-hmm. My view all along has been, you know, in campaigns, I fight through the finish line, mm-hmm. not to the finish line. Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind. You fight through the finish line, not to the finish line. So I want you guys to help her get through the finish line, because she's going to be an excellent member of the Montgomery County Council. Thank you very much.
That's right.
Thank you, Ike. No, she's what I highlighted is the importance of this, and one of the things that I've learned from coming around the district is how important it is to people that they're finally going to have representation. A lot of people